Answering Objections by Linford Beachey, published by Present Truth Ministries, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The above reference is used in an attempt to prove the Trinity. The argument goes like this: the Father speaks from heaven, the Son is on earth, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Therefore, all three must be separate persons that together make one God. There are elements in this text that could be interpreted in this way, but it is not necessary from the text. There is generally no question about the Father's position as the God of heaven, and this text demonstrates this fact. God refers to his Son as my beloved Son. This does not require us to conclude that the Son is somehow part of a Trinity, but rather that Jesus is God's own Son. The declaration of the Father that Jesus is his Son should not be interpreted to mean that Jesus is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. God could easily have made this declaration if he wanted us to believe it. But instead, he simply said, This is my beloved Son. This does not contradict any of the texts we have read in our studies on the personality of God that state that Jesus is literally the only begotten Son of God who was given life by his Father. John chapter 3, verse 18, chapter 5, verse 26, etc. The question arises from the fact that the Spirit of God descended from the Father in the form of a dove. This is the key element of the text that is interpreted to mean that God is a Trinity. Yet the Bible says it was the Spirit of God that descended rather than God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is mentioned as the property of someone. It is God, the Father's own Spirit that descended like a dove. If you presuppose that the Spirit of God was really a separate and distinct person other than God the Father, then certainly one would expect that this verse refers to the third person taking the form of a dove. What if the Spirit of God descended in the form of two doves? Would you then conclude that there are two Spirits of God? If a visible manifestation of the Spirit of God means that the Holy Spirit is a distinct and separate individual from the Father, then what do we have when we read of 120 cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2? Here we read, And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, 120 in all, verse 115, Acts chapter 2, verse 3. If one visible manifestation of the Spirit of God is one distinct person, then 120 visible manifestations of the Spirit of God must be 120 distinct persons. If the logic is sound in one text, it must be in all cases. Yet we know that the Holy Spirit is not 120 persons. God is not made up of 122 people. Instead, God is one person who has a spirit. Just as truly as every living being has a spirit, God is able to send his spirit anywhere he likes, and it can appear in any form he wants. The 120 visible manifestations of the Spirit of God were not intended to prove that God's Spirit is 120 people, but rather they were given as a sign to those present that the Spirit of God was poured out upon those individuals. When Peter explained what happened, he quoted God saying, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Peter did not think that the cloven tongues represented 120 spirits, but rather one Spirit, the Spirit of God. God said, I will pour out of my Spirit. This does not sound like he was planning to send a separate individual to represent him, but that he would share his own spirit with others. Peter further explained, Therefore Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. If the 120 visible manifestations of the Spirit of God were designed to prove that the Holy Spirit is not God the Father's own personal spirit, but a distinct individual, then Peter failed to get the point. He maintained that the Holy Spirit is the Father's own Spirit that he gave to his Son, who then shed it upon the disciples. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father. John chapter 15, verse 26. When Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, the man who baptized him did not conclude that the Holy Spirit is a separate individual. John the Baptist said, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." John chapter 1, verses 32 through 34. Here John testified that the visible manifestation of the Spirit of God was intended to prove that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and that Jesus is the Son of God. If the events of Christ's baptism were designed to prove that God is a Trinity, John failed to get the message. He still maintained that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and that Jesus is the Son of God. Interestingly, John called the Holy Spirit it in this text. The bottom line is that even those who witnessed the events at Christ's baptism came away from the experience without the understanding that God is a Trinity. They still understood that God is the Father and Jesus is the Son of God and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is irresponsible for us to conclude that God is a Trinity from Christ's baptism. The events there fall far short of proving the Trinity doctrine.